Good afternoon. I don't need to tell you, but Jesus loves Mondays. It's his favorite day. So good to be here, good to be with you as we celebrate Holy Week. The thing about Holy Week that's interesting is something I prayed, but it's true, is that because your world changed at the cross, because it wasn't just that Jesus died on the cross for you, you died on the cross with Jesus. And the old you, and that you were born with, the one that's controlled by the reign of sin. And that old you was crucified and buried, and the whole new you in union with Christ, sharing his very life. That's what makes you, you shared his death, and now you share his life, and that's what makes you a new creation. That's a remarkable transformation of our story. Like if I could go to somebody and say to them tomorrow who's really struggling in life, maybe they aren't even a Christian. I say, well, here's the thing I can do. I can tap you on the head, and immediately the person you've been will no longer exist. Now you can still have some of the, you'll have your personality, there can be temptation, but you immediately be made one with Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, and he'll start living his life through you. Would you take that deal? They would go, yeah. But what's amazing to me, that's the deal, and how few Christians get it, and how few Christians walk in it. So every year, as we approach Easter, we ask the Lord, give us deeper insight and revelation to the transformation of our own personal humanity and identity that was a consequence of Good Friday and Easter. Amen. But we're going to do what we've done in recent years and kind of just look at the different events, some of the events that happened on each day of Holy Week. So Bracken read from Mark chapter 10 about Jesus cursing the fig tree, which happened the day after Palm Sunday. And so these are scriptures we've talked about in the past. If some of this sounds familiar, then may God just cause it to go deeper in layers. But I think there's some things that the Lord wants to say to you. I know he does. Here's the deal. Jesus loves you very much. And therefore, he wants to say something to you. Amen. And he'll even use a ragamuffin like me to say it. So, amen. So let me just read. These are short verses again. What I want you to see. On the next day, this is the day after Palm Sunday, when they had departed from Bethany, Jesus became hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat from you again." And his disciples were listening. And then when the next day, in verse 20, it says, "And as they were passing in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, 'Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered.'" Now, this is the thing that, and I've mentioned this the last couple of years, and so this part, if you've heard again, just bear with me, and because it fits what I want to say, the second part of this, but I used to always wonder about that whole issue because it just doesn't seem fair to the fig tree, you know? Because it says Jesus approached the fig tree, if perhaps. And so Jesus was pretty smart. So it's not like he didn't know or shouldn't have known that it was out of season. Because when he got to the fig tree, all he saw were leaves. And it says he only saw leaves because the fig tree was not in season to give figs. And so I used to feel really sorry for the fig tree. I thought, that's a sad thing for a fig tree. I was acting like I was a fruitarian of some sort, but I'm not. And but then Jesus is always demonstrating, always teaching. So you have to remember, he's got his disciples with him. And it says in these scriptures, they were paying really close attention to what was happening with this fig tree. Because they never questioned Jesus why he did it. They just, the next day, when they walked by it again, Peter said, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed has withered from the root up. So the answer, at least at this point in my life, I know one of the answers for me was this. Jesus was always teaching these guys about living by faith, always teaching them what it means to live and steward the impossible. Because Jesus as man did everything that he did because of his union with the Father. And the Holy Spirit made that union real. So that in John 14:10, Jesus said he did nothing on his own initiative, but it was the Father abiding in him who did the works. So Jesus as man was teaching us, showing us how humanity is supposed to live in union with God. And so Jesus was doing miracles, but not out of his own power as God. He was stewarding miracles because he was allowing the Father by the Spirit to work through him. And as you know, when you read John 14, Jesus said, on that day, Pentecost, just like I've been in the Father and the Father's been in me, union, I'm going to be in you and you're going to be in me. So you're going to enter into union with me like I've been in union with the Father. And that's why in John 20, he said, even as the Father has sent me, I send you. And with the same living principle, that as the Father did the works through me, I'm going to do the works through you. And so he's modeling to them this life of stewarding the impossible, and he's modeling this to them as human so that they can understand that what he's done and the life that he's lived, they're expected to live the same kind of life in union with him as he's lived in union with the Father. And so he's telling them, with the story of the fig tree, one of the things he's teaching them is this. Yes, the fig tree's out of season. And yes, therefore, it would be normal not to expect figs in a fig tree. But there are going to be a lot of times, as I live my life through you, when I'm going to expect things, I'm going to make demands on your life that are not going to seem normal. They're going to seem impossible for you. Going to be so difficult. Probably every one of you right now are going through something that seems to be overwhelming in your life. And the fig tree story is Jesus trying to say to us, there are going to be things that are going to feel like it's just too much. And it's in those moments where you're going to learn to steward the supernatural. I expected the fig tree to do something that was impossible for the fig tree to do. I'm going to expect a lot of things that are going to be impossible for you to do apart from me living in you. Therefore, you're going to have to learn to live by faith. So on Saturday, I was playing golf, if that's what you call what I do. And like C.S. Lewis said, golf is a good walk wasted. I think that is a perfect picture of my life. And but I was talking to the Lord about something. I thought, man, Lord, I just didn't believe you for that. And I said, so I was just talking about faith. And I said, so if it's my faith and I'm trying to believe you for this, and then is it just about faith? But it's got to be, it's about you. I was just having this conversation. And the Lord said to me, Chuck, it's not about your faith. It's, do I have faith for it? Now, it's not the first time he said that to me, but it was the first time we had that conversation in the context of what I was talking to him about. He said, it's not about your faith. You're trying to get up enough faith to have victory. But 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the victory. And so you're not having faith to try to get him to be victory. He's saying to you, I'm the victory for that. And that's where your faith rests in. I'll show you. So in the final story of the fig tree, so you understand what Jesus again was trying to teach them. When Peter says, look, the fig tree has been withered even to its roots. And Jesus answered saying, and this is repeatedly saying to them, he said it to them over and over again, have faith in God. But the proper translation is, have the faith of God. continually. We live by the faith of God. See, the flesh wants us to always get bent back towards ourselves, even in trying to believe. But to enter into his rest is to rest from your trying to believe and resting in what he believes in. And that's what faith is. Truly, I say to you, this is what he says. Because what's the whole point of the fig tree? There are going to be times when it's going to seem like I'm making demands on you that are impossible for you to deal with. But actually, the demands are on me. And that's going to happen a lot in your Christian life. Because it's impossible to live the Christian life. Have you discovered that? To be a good boy and be a good girl all the time? That's why the revival that I referred to a lot, the Keswick Revival, it was advertised as holiness by faith. But it's holiness by the faith of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray, believing that you have received them, they shall be granted you. Now how do you start off that thing? By responding to Peter about the fig tree and saying, always live continually in the faith of God. So everything he says afterwards is examples of doing the impossible. Tell a mountain to be cast into the sea, it casts into the sea. Anything that you ask believing it shall, and believe that you already have it, it's done. That's all based on the fact that my believing is I'm believing that he has faith for this. And he has faith for it because he's big enough for it. And therefore, even if I don't see it yet, like, is there something you're going through and it's just crushing your feelings? And it's causing you to give in to things that aren't holy? In that moment, you can, Lord, thank you that you have faith for this because you're big enough to handle this. Thank you for that. Now, I don't feel 1 minute different when I said that. I thanked him for it. But having said that, mountains begin to move on the inside in whatever circumstances. You hear me? And so Jesus is preparing them for the cross. You're going to be a new creation woven into the fabric of my existence. And so nothing that I require of you seems ridiculous or impossible to me because everything I demand on you is a promise I'm making to you that I'm prepared to perform through you if you'll just rest in my faith and my own ability to do it. There's a place in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, and we'll close with this one. I had not thought about that scripture for this morning, but it's very appropriate. If we believe not, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Even if you're struggling with believing, he is always full of faith, faithful, because he can't deny himself. It's not about whether you can handle it or not. And I can assure you there are going to be things weekly, daily, sometimes, that are not just going to be like praying for the dead to be raised, just living the Christian life with people where it appears that God has put you in a situation that is impossible for you to deal with. Well, yeah, the whole Christian life is impossible. And it's in those moments that we remember that he, Lord Jesus, you've got faith for this. And I just thank you for your ability. And then when that happens, everything about you changes. And everything in the situation begins to change, no matter if it takes a while. Because you're living now by his faith. And his faith can do marathons, not just sprints. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.